Amen. Not the same. The world is not the same. And probably will never be the same again. Our world is forever changed, different than it's ever been before. We are in the midst of changes and crises and restrictions and things that we've never experienced before. We're facing new challenges. We're facing new adversities. We're facing new tensions. We're facing new negativity. But in the midst of all of this, God is still trying to encourage us. God is still inviting us to better things, to the very best that He still has for our lives. Amen? In the midst of all the bad, I'm going to tell you, there is good. God is good. And I believe, saints, church, this is the time when we need to keep on believing, keep on hoping, keep on having faith in God. Keep it alive. Because I also believe that at the same time, God has the power to turn things around. Do you believe that? God is in the business of turning things around. Romans 8, 28. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, for we are His lovers. Every detail of our lives is woven together for what? For good. We've been called. We have a purpose, a designed purpose to live out. So He takes the hard, the difficult, the negative, and He makes something good out of it, something beautiful out of it. And that's what Isaiah says in Isaiah 61, verse 3. He bestows on us beauty, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of depression and despair. So much of that in the world today, isn't there? God's answer to all of life's challenges is the same. It's the same as it has always been throughout the decades, the centuries. God's answer to all the challenges of life is the same. You know what it is? Trust me. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. This is the scripture that God gave Karen and I just before we got married. And, you know, when we got married, we were teenagers. Well, we were a little bit older than teenagers, but we were just barely born again, just babes in Christ. But we both had an incredible passion to love and to serve Jesus. And this was a key scripture, not just to base our marriage on, but this was a scripture for the journey of life that God had ahead of us. This is a scripture to help us face all the challenges that we would have to meet in our lives. And we've faced many challenges. And what the writer here, I believe this is Proverbs, it was written by Solomon. What he's saying is this, that when you go into unknown, uncharted territory, places that you've never been before, then that's the time to trust in the Lord, because He's taken you to a place you've never been before. Amen? You've never been before, and we are challenged right now. God is challenging the church, local, universal, to keep moving forward. Don't get stalled. Don't look at the world as a big red light. That's a stoplight. It's time to move forward in our faith, in our life, and to do the work that God designed and created us to do. It's time. It's time to move ahead. Here's the question. So, in other words, stay with me. Not the same. I didn't hear you say it. Not the same. Question. Will it ever be the way it used to be? Will it ever be normal? I don't think so. And all our wishing and our hoping and our wanting is not it to be the same will never make it the same. It'll never be the way it used to be, right? And here's the problem. We can get so easily caught up in wanting it to be this the way it used to be, instead of moving forward into what it can be and it will be with Jesus leading us. Personally, I don't want to go back to the way it used to be. I mean, there were some good parts there. You know, I mean, there were some good things in the past, but it wasn't all that great, especially the last 2 years, right? I don't want to go back to the way it used to be. I want to go on and move forward to the way that it will be. I want every good thing that God has for me in the future. Do you wish the same thing? You're crazy if you don't, right? We all want to move forward into the good things of God. So we're challenged to keep moving forward. I like this what Kevin Gerald said. He said these words, just because things are not going to be the same doesn't mean that it's not going to be good. Isn't that great words? Just because things are not going to be the same doesn't mean it's not going to be good. We'll back up one slide there. Here's what Paul said. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. What's his one compelling focus? I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. It's time, saints, to fasten our hearts to the future that God has for us. Amen? God has good things. Every season has good things, right? Summer, winter, fall, we're heading into winter. Hey, there's something good about winter. Every season has something good. Well, God has good for you in the next season. But a lot of things that we did in the past, it won't be the same in the future. Why is that? You know why? Because the world is not the same. Because people are not the same. Because your life and my life are not the same. But whatever God has for us, there's going to be good in the future. Amen? So, big question. What does it take? What do we need to do to move into the future that God has for us? What is it going to take to move into the future so that we don't get stuck in a place where we're whining and we're wanting and we're reminiscing and we're in a state of melancholy for the past? What do we do to move out of that? I want to give you four things that you could do. Here, first one. First thing you need to do, I need to do, get a perspective, a vision for your future, a vision for your future. Don't get your eyes so clouded by what's happening in the past and right now. Get a vision for your future. Here's what you, because I believe that perspective matters. That was a message, that's the subtitle of my message. Perspective matters. Your perspective really matters. The way that you look at things really makes a matter in your life. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What's Jesus saying? He's saying perspective matters. Perspective matters. If you look at things with a negative eye, you will always see the negative in life. And eventually negativity and darkness will fill your whole life. But if you look with good eyes, then you always see good things, and good things will fill your life. You've got to see the goodness ahead of you. Perspective really matters. Get a vision for your life. There's life beyond COVID. There's life beyond. And that's why I believe that people, we as Christians, we need to, you know, rush into the places we can preach the gospel. I appreciate people like Ron, you know, running for mayor and says, hey, I want to be an influence in that place. I want to bring the gospel into it, into the way, you know, our town should be led in Colhurst. You know, it's time for us to say, hey, there's a future ahead. We need to position ourselves for the future. Amen? Perspective really matters. In Genesis chapter 15, God came to Abraham, who's the father of our faith, way back in Genesis. And he came to Abraham in a vision when Abraham was 75 years old. And he said to him, Abraham, I have designed a great future for you. I have a great, grand reward ahead of you. And Abraham's response was, well, what good, God, is a great reward since I don't even have children? Like, you've never given me any sons or daughters, and like, everything that I've worked for in my life, everything that I've built up is going to be inherited probably by the son of a slave. So what good? I have no future. But God says to him, Abram, you're going to be a father. You're going to be a father. So put your beds together, because you're going to be a father. You know, when you get old, you live in separate beds, you know, you put them apart. God said, put your beds together, because you're going to be a father. And not just a father, you're going to be a father of many, 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 many. In fact, you're going to be a father of nations are going to come from your fatherhood. But when Abraham heard that, I mean, he was having a hard time. Says, yeah, I just can't see that. God, I don't know, it doesn't say, but I'm thinking he probably thought, well, I just can't see that, God. Like, I'm old, and Sarah's old, and she's way past her time, and how's that ever going to happen? I can't even see that. I can't even imagine it. So what does God do? He says, okay, come on, I'm going to take you outside. Genesis 15, verse 5. And then he took him outside and said, look at the sky. Count the stars. Can you do it? Count your descendants. You're going to have a big family, Abraham. And look at what verse 6 says. And Abraham, what did he do? He believed. Believe God. And declared him, and God declared him set right with God. Believe. Believe that God has a good future for you. Amen? Right now, I mean, we could get caught up in the negative. We see a lot of stuff, new stuff that's happening that's not so good. We're seeing, I talked about last week, about fear, all the fear and phobias, 530 plus fears and phobias. You know what a definition of phobia is? An irrational fear. We're seeing all kinds of fears, phobias, anxieties developing. We're seeing new resistances among some Christians for community. We were never meant to do life alone. We were formed for family. We were created for a community. It's time to get connected. We see a lot of new anger, and so much of that anger is COVID-related anger. You know, some people feel protected and isolated when there's lockdowns and they're isolated, and other people are suffering terrible pain and loss because of that, right? So lots of new anger, new excuses to play it safe. People are less and less willing to take risks, less and less willing to go out of their door to preach the gospel, less and less willing to be adventurous and take on the challenges. You know, that entrepreneurial spirit, the spirit of the visionary is dying. It's being squashed and discouraged today. People are discouraged, no longer, you know, taking that, stepping out and concerned about taking a challenge. Why is that? Because they're looking, and they keep looking and seeing circumstances that seem to be on their control. I mean, I could just go on. We're seeing all this happening right now, but there's good news. The good news is this. Yes, there'll always be phobias, fears, excuses, anger, but at the same time, there'll also be opportunities. Opportunities. New opportunities for God to intervene in your life. New opportunities for God to help you. New opportunities for God to heal you, to restore you. There's going to be new opportunities for connecting, new opportunities to grow during this time, new opportunities for creativity, for starting businesses. I believe there's new opportunities to be courageous, for bravery, new opportunities to rise up and become the leader and the man and woman of God you're called to be. Amen? If God says, trust me, that he's going to take you to a place you've never gone before, but there's going to be good there. Amen? I don't hear a lot of amens. Thank you. Thank you. It's Pastor Appreciation Week, remember? I'll just use that. Isaiah 43, verse 18. See, I am doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the deserts. You know, even in the wilderness times, even in the worst times, even if we're in a desert, God has the power to make a way through that. He can open up streams, right? You know, abundant life for every believer, even in the most difficult times. The way that you see things matters. Perspective matters, amen? And the way that you see God matters. Number two, we must stir up a new courage and a confidence and persevere. Say with me, persevere. Persevere in the difficult times of life. When David wrote Psalm 27, it was a time when he was going through hardships, difficulties, setbacks, disappointments, accusations from false witnesses. But in the very end of that psalm, of Psalm 27, he says these words in verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see what? The goodness of God in the land of the living. David said, I'm stirring up my confidence, I'm stirring up my faith, and I'm going to persevere until I see the goodness of God in my life. Let us have that same attitude. And, you know, I think that during this last 18 months, 2 years, I think we've all lost some things, haven't we? We've lost some opportunities. We might have even lost some friendships. We lost some old friendships and relationships. Well, if that's the case, then now is the time to make new friends. Now is the time to build relationships. Now is the time to reset our priorities. And now is the time to put God front and center of our life. Just because it's not the same doesn't mean it won't be good, right? With every new negativity comes new opportunities. I want you to listen to this story. This is a true story. Happened in the early 1900s. In a place called Enterprise, Alabama. And it's all about an insect called the boll weevil. Ever heard of a boll weevil? The boll weevil actually came down from Mexico and came to the migrated down to the southern states, right into Alabama. All the way through, it started destroying the cotton crops. In those southern states, cotton was the king crop. I mean, that's all they grew was cotton. But over a matter of just a few years, the boll weevil destroyed all the cotton crops. And the economy literally went into a slump, that whole area. But there was one enterprising farmer from Enterprise, Alabama, who decided to plant a crop of peanuts. Well, that year that he planted those crops, his name was C.W. Baston. And that year that Baston planted that crop of peanuts, he did so well that he was literally able to pay off all his debts and he still had money left in the bank. Well, that guy's success inspired many other farmers to also plant peanuts, but not also peanuts, to diversify into many other crops, as well as livestock and other industries started to develop in that place. And the economy got a huge boost. In 1919, they erected a monument called the Boll Weevil Blessing. The Boll Weevil Blessing. And they put the statue right in the middle of downtown Enterprise, Alabama. And it was erected by the citizens of Enterprise to show their appreciation to an insect, the boll weevil, for its profound influence on the area's agriculture and economy. It was their way of saying this: if it was not for the boll weevil, we would not have been blessed. Wow, what a story. Say with me again, persevere. Persevere. With every great adversity comes and will come a great opportunity. Number three, let's not hold on to what God wants us to let go of. Let's not hold on to what God wants to let go of. Let's go of fears. Let's deal with the fears. Let's let go of fears. Let's let go of anger. Let go of division. Let go of excuses. Let go of opinions that divide people instead of unite people. You know, let's believe that there are better days ahead. Let's get our faith going. Philippians 3, 13 and 15. Paul says, by no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward, forward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. Are you there? Is that your attitude? I want everything that God has for me. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Let's stay on it. We're going to move forward. We can overcome. We can overcome. Why? Because Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us, right? Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world, right? You are children of God and little children and have overcome the world because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. Who is he in the world? The devil, Satan. There's a demonic realm in this world. Much of what we've seen is that demonic influence taking things and making them as bad as it could ever be. The Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit, you know, what he's saying there in that scripture is the Spirit of Jesus is actually living inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you. And it's not by might, it's not by your power, but it's how? By the Holy Spirit. We sang an incredible song by the power of the Holy Spirit today. You are a child of God, and we have the power. We have the power to move forward in this life. Last point. So therefore, let's take our foot off the brakes and let's move forward into the future that God has for us. Let's move forward. When COVID happened, it's like everything came to a grinding halt. And it's like the world was looking at this. Like everything. That's a picture of what's happening to the world. Everything is on hold. You can't do anything. You can't, you know, it's like there's so many less privileges, less, you know, and so much control. And we're just like caught there. You know what? You know, it's not just the world. I believe the church has been looking at the same light. And I believe God is saying, I'm changing the lights. I'm changing it to this. I'm giving you the green light. I'm giving you permission to go forward in my purposes and into my plan. And I'm going with you. Amen? I say it's time, church. It's time, church, to move forward. It's time to get a mindset that trusts in God and does not lean to our own understanding. Amen? It's time. It's time to get into gear, take your foot off the brakes and to move ahead. It's time to get preaching the gospel, sharing your faith with your neighbors again. It's time to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's time to preach and to teach and to see people healed, you know, through your faith and through your prayers. It's time. It's time to start reaching people for Jesus, and it's time to make biblical disciples of Christians, not weak wimps, but solid rock believers, biblical believers. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, it's time to let go of baggage, offenses, anger, excuses. It's time to move ahead. And I said, you can't get into the new way of life taking the old life with you. One scripture left. Isaiah 40, 43, 20 and 21, the Message version, says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. And that's a good word. Be present. You know, be here. Be present. I'm about to do something new. I want to be in that place where God is going to be do something new. Not the same. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert. rivers in the Badlands. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. In the midst of all the good, God has good for you. I want to remind you of those four things and we're done. Number one, let's get a new perspective and a vision for our future. Number two, let's stir up a new courage and a confidence within us and what God can do. Number three, let's not hold on to what God wants to let us to let go of. And number four, let's take our foot off the brakes and let's move with God. Let's move with the Holy Spirit, with God into the future. Amen? In the midst of all the bad, God has good for you. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. You might be here today and you're still living in your old life, but God has new for you. God has a new life for you to live. God has a priceless treasure called eternal life, salvation. And today, if you've never received this eternal gift, the gift of heaven, and the gift of a brand new life with new sense of purpose and passion, then you can receive this gift today, this priceless gift, by believing in what Jesus did for you on the cross. But listen, you've got to give up your old life in order to receive this new life. And by praying this prayer with all your heart, God can give you this incredible thing called salvation, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. And if that's you, and you've never received Christ into your heart, you've never got into this thing called a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, then I invite you to say this prayer, and I guarantee that this prayer will change your life for eternity. If that's you, then pray with me these words. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Jesus, I believe in you, and I receive you into my heart today to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.